Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I am your host, Larry Hamilton, and today on episode 58, Tuesday Tales number 10, Winter Escapades. But first up, a couple of voicemails. First, Dr. Robert Groves of the DM Dad podcast, followed by Cody M. of the No Save for You podcast. Take it away, fellas.
Hey, Larry, it's Robert from DM Dad again. I just wanted to join the others in thanking you very much for the shout out of all the many anchorites. I was really honored to be included on that list. Also, thanks because you've mentioned some that I wasn't aware of yet, so now I can make a note of them and start following their stuff as well. So, thanks again for your kindness and mentioning my podcast, and for your service to the OSR Anchorites by putting us all in touch with each other.
Hey, Larry, it's Cody with No Save for You. I was just dropping up your video game episode, and I've tried to do about 3 call-ins so far, and I can't cram what I have to say into a minute. So I think this will probably be at least part of the topic of my next episode. But for now, I wanted to leave you with this. I think as a younger member of the younger generation, I do tend to consume a lot of video games just because they're so prevalent. They're everywhere. I have not one, but 2 Xboxes in my house. I have a Nintendo Switch, a Nintendo DS. I've got, you know, games on my phone, on my computer, everywhere. And I do find if I don't limit myself with like screen time or, you know, things like that, that I will just get lost in the gaming. It's almost like tunnel vision. You get trapped in there. Anyway, bud, I enjoyed the episode. Keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you later.
Robert, I'm glad to help promote all of the interesting things out there, especially that there are several others who've called in indicating that they learned of new podcasts to add to their own lists. We've got quite a thing going here, and I hope we can continue putting out interesting information, sharing ways that we've done things that worked and didn't work, and are just having fun with playing games. Cody, and I feel your pain on the limited call-in time. I often decide on doing episodes too, and I look forward to your perspective on video games. Being about the age of my oldest son, you'll probably have some thoughts in common with him. And I think it's just amazing how much things have changed over the years, and that computers have stayed more or less the same size, but have gotten more and more powerful. And what a person can do with one computer used to be a supercomputer back in the day, and now a supercomputer is above and beyond. I always appreciate everyone who calls in, and I encourage you, if you're interested in commenting, call in. And if you don't want to download the Anchor app, you can contact me through my website. On my website, I have a social page that lists all of my different social media, and you'll be able to find a way to contact me through one of those. Back in the day, my brother Robert, the one I interviewed back in episode 30, started a new campaign when I was off at my freshman year of college. That's the campaign where I came home over Thanksgiving break and got in 4 years of game time and 4 days of real-time play when I started Griswold, who I've talked about so often on the podcast. So Robert, the DM, and the 2 players were our younger brother Kent. He played a high elf cleric, Aldrinon Whiteoak, and our friend Randall, who played a gnome fighter, Garl Uphill, and an NPC human fighter, Morgan Redhair, son of the wizard Moran Redbeard. And they ended up living in a frontier town, helping to deal with the threats that could have driven its populace away or even eradicated it. And in warm weather, they fought hill giants and other critters, and they may have found some ruins and other things to gain treasure besides treasure gained from hill giants, but I don't know all the details. Just the few stories that Roberts told me. And when winter came, the snow was too deep to easily chase giants, and the giants, I guess, were holed up staying warm. Instead of holing up for the winter and just let the time advance quickly, they decided they wanted to find a way to earn XP. So they hit on the idea of getting together winter gear, you know, snowshoes, a sled with a dog team, plenty of warm clothes, and so forth. And their idea was to go bear hunting. So they would look for steam rising from the snow, an indication that there was a bear den beneath. And Garl the gnome, being the short one, was sent back into the den to poke the bear. Because you got to wake it up. And as he beat feet out of the den, Morgan Redhair, the human fighter, and Algernon Whiteoak, the cleric, would be waiting in ambush. And when Garl ran out with the bear behind, they would strike. Once they'd slain the bear, they would take the carcass back to town and sell the meat, the pelt, and other bits to gain some coin and add to their XP. And I don't recall, it's been a long time since I've heard the original story of this, so I don't recall if they also hunted the giant boar in winter, but there was a group of giant boar in the area, and they went after them also, and selling the meat and the tusks and probably some other bits for some coin. I believe they were probably close to earning a level, and so they were looking to get XP in and do the training over the winter. At some point, I don't recall the story, they were on their sled, fleeing from something, whether it was multiple giant boar, a cave bear, a hill giant, or other monster, I don't recall. But my brother Robert is a skilled artist, and he sketched one aspect of the story where the sled left the ground and crashed, and the picture captured it in midair shooting over a snow-covered hill. I wish I had a picture of that. That would be cool to share. Now, later, when I started playing solo with Griswold, because Griswold was in a different area of the campaign, close so that he eventually met these other characters, but far enough away that he didn't interact with them on a regular basis, he would hole up in some place warm for the winter and wait for spring before he resumed his adventures. I've not played any winter or Arctic-type adventures. I haven't even run them. Now, I've played and run, usually in temperate climes, where there's all kinds of weather, but I've not had players tromp around in deep snow, so I haven't had to play through that. I've also played and run where there is a tropical jungle climate, where heat is a factor. Disease and bugs and other things would also be a factor. If you've ever had to tromp around very far in the snow, walk across a frozen lake or any such, you know that the weather and the environment can be just as much of a foe as any monster or NPC, because weather affects both our travel by either blocking it or making it really slow, and then things like too much or too little rain can lead to crop failure, and that's something that often gets hand-waved, but if there's a food shortage or a famine, there could be a peasant revolt. Now, Gary Gygax in the first edition Dungeon Master's Guide talks about taxes being too stiff for revolt. I don't remember if he talks about crop failures and so forth, but he does bring up the possibility of a peasant revolt. And that's something that we often hand wave what the everyday people are going through, that it's like we expect crop yields and crop regularity like we have in modern times, unless you're using magical creatures or magical seeds or lots of druids and clerics helping with the crops, how are they not having more regular crop failures and local shortages and generalized famine periodically? Something to keep in mind. Trade is also affected by the weather and the seasons. Passes are closed in winter when they're full of snow and ice. Rains and floods in the spring, when the snow melts, also affects trade. And in some climates, sea trade is limited by harsh seas or ice in the winter. And so, if your players want to tick off each day of winter via gameplay, instead of just sit it out, think about some things they might do. A food shortage or a devastating fire in town might lead to the need for furs and meat to survive the winter. Heroes, in a pinch, can make good hunters and trappers, especially because they go after the really big stuff like cave bears and giant boar. I'm curious to know what of your experience has been with how players and their characters deal with waiting out the winter. Is it a hand wave and you just accelerate through the winter months? Or do they venture out trying to hunt or actually adventure and find dungeons in the winter? How has that worked out? That'd really be interesting. Another thing about winter, think about it. A wall of ice spell, due to its magical properties, will melt in time. But what would a deep drift of snow with sub-freezing temperatures do to a wall of ice? Wouldn't it last a bit longer? How would you adjudicate that? I also wrote an article on my blog about a thief with cold fingers trying to pick a lock. My first PDF I shared on one bookshelf shares a bit of that story, and I've also written about it on my blog. My father was a locksmith, and we'd often get called out to one of the truck stops on the interstate on the edge of town in the middle of winter. Well, locksmith tools are small, but they're also metal. And because they're small, you've got to take your gloves off. So no gloves with small tools trying to pick a broken key out of an ignition. I would much rather have done that in the middle of July when it's 100 degrees with 90% humidity and sweat in my eyes and the metal so hot it's burning my skin than deal with doing it in winter. A thief with cold fingers. What kind of penalties would you give them for that? A thief where the metal of their tools is so hot they can barely touch it. Again, penalties. Stuff to think about. So the weather affects the temperature. We usually know this through our own experience. I was reading a tweet on Twitter from someone who had their first experience of ice on their windshield because they'd moved further north and they didn't know what to do, so they called an Uber. And for those of us that grow up in the cold of the winter and deal with scraping our windows and we know to turn on the car and let the defroster warm the windshield and help melt the ice to make it easier to scrape, we don't think anything of that. We don't like it, but we know how to deal with it. People that have never had to deal with certain things, how would that work? So if you're running a game where the players are in a tropical climate and there's suddenly a snowstorm that dumps a lot of snow on the area and it doesn't melt right away, how would you handle them dealing with that? Or if they run into cold-based spells and don't understand how to avoid slipping and falling on the ice or some such? Or conversely, an Arctic or winter-based campaign where suddenly fire causes problems, melting snow, causing avalanches, etc. A lightning bolt cast in a snow-filled canyon, the crack of thunder, roll for a chance of an avalanche. Just keep in mind that weather and climate are something to challenge the players in addition to monsters and NPCs. And I believe it's Hankerin' for an Ale in his Index Card RPG talks about that. And there have been others who've mentioned that. Please call in and share your experiences with using weather and climate to challenge your players. Thanks for listening, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!